Hey everyone, I'm Mia Suzanne Walker from Suzanne's Band.
This is Charlie Daniels of the Charlie Daniels Band.
I'm Allie from A Fine Frenzy.
My name is Samara Doy.
This is Barry Winslow from the Royal Guardsmen, wishing you all a very Merry Christmas from the Sounds of Christmas.
Podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I'm very excited and happy to have our good friend Suzanne from Suzanne's Band back on the podcast. Hi there. Happy New Year.
Hello, Ken. I'm so glad to be here and always good to talk about Christmas music. There's always a good time for that.
I think so. And I apologize for not having you back sooner. When we talked a couple months ago and your new Christmas singles had just come out, I had said you should come back on a little bit later into the season and talk about, now that they're out there, how you feel about the process and all of that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, it's January. It's like, whoops. But it's never too late to talk about Christmas music.
That's right.
You had two singles that you released this past fall, Come Down for Christmas and Falling.
Right.
How was the process of getting these out there? Because you had two instead of, in the past, you had just released one song.
Right.
And this time you had two. Any different, or was it twice as nice?
It was different in some ways, but it was good in others, because you could kind of, it was like, you know, putting two horses out to race because they were different in their styles. And it was really interesting to see what style did better and on what mediums. So that made it kind of interesting this time. Like Come Down for Christmas had the most Spotify plays. I mean, I think it had like, oh, sheesh, over 6,000 streams in just 2 months, which isn't shabby. I think Falling had around 2,000. But in other areas like YouTube, I had a music video that I made for Falling. I don't know whether you got a chance to see that, but it had 44,000 streams on YouTube. So it did really good in that medium. So, you know, it was just cool to watch it all happen and know that those songs are going to be around for a while. I think people are going to enjoy them. And I put in some, both songs for a couple of movie television projects. So we'll see if those come to pass for the new year.
Nice.
So that would be nice to have one of those fit into something like that. I feel like that they both would work well in those situations.
And but, I've been saying it wrong. I've only been giving it two Fallings and there's three.
And you know why that is? Because whenever I do a new song, I always go check on Google and I look up other songs by that name, or try to. Some you can't help but name it as something in particular, but I usually try. And there was, believe it or not, another song called Falling. So I made mine Falling. So there, there's the only one that comes up. It helps with the Google searches.
It really does. And the Spotify or Apple or Amazon or whatever streaming service you use, that does help.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many things that I've looked for that I've heard, oh, so and so has this song and it's an indie artist, so they don't have a big following, and their name is the same as or very similar to so many others. I don't know which one it is. And then the song or the album, so many have named their albums just Christmas. And
ooh, original.
very, yeah. And the thing is, Michael Bublé's only Christmas album, if you can believe he's only done one so far, is called Christmas. So no matter what kind of metadata you add in there, when you look for the album Christmas, he shows up. Mm-hmm. He shows up for everybody. And it's tough. Michael Sinatra had a Christmas album. I think it's his last one. And he called it Christmas. And then he had the problem of his first name was also Michael. So that always came up. So you do have to be hyper aware about mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Yeah. And you have to search. And I didn't realize there was another song called Falling, Falling. I don't know if it's a Christmas song or not, but that.
Well, and then you've got Alicia Keys' song Falling. So right. There's lots of those too. So
yes,
just, you don't know.
So you have a good feeling about releasing two.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out
pretty nice.
Would you do it again? Release two at the same time?
I don't know. It just kind of depends on if I had written two that I felt really strongly about releasing. You know, it's just kind of worked out that way. Normally I have at least one, you know, so I've written one already for the next recording project, whenever that happens to be. So at least
so you
I
didn't,
got one in the arsenal.
So you didn't set out with the plan, I'm going to put out two songs.
Not really, no.
It just kind of happened.
I had Come Down for Christmas. I knew I wanted to do that. I knew I wanted to do some sort of pop, you know, Kelly Clarkson upbeat kind of vibe song. So I knew that one was going to happen. But Falling, Falling, Falling kind of came about because it was kind of written as something else. And then it just kind of turned into a Christmas song. So I'm glad I did it. I think it's best as a Christmas song than the way I'd written it before as a regular song. So
do you think we'll get a video for Come Down for Christmas next year?
I don't know. It just kind of depends how the budget goes and everything. My husband is retiring in a few months. And so that may affect things, you know, down the road as far as what I'm able to do, period. And you just never know with health issues and other things that come up, you know, what you're going to end up having to deal with. So we'll ride it out, see what happens.
I got more music written.
You know, I'd love to do another album. I'd love to do another Christmas song, but, you know, we'll just kind of see what the year holds as it progresses. But ideally, 2027 would be the next recording year. That's kind of typically the way I work is every other year I record and release something.
I was thinking more along the lines of, did you have an idea or a plan for a video for Come Down for Christmas? Or is that something that you're just, it's January, you're not ready to think about that?
I haven't really come up with an affordable concept yet. I had one idea, and I talked it over with a video guy, but, you know, it really didn't, you know, fit budget-wise and everything else with what I felt like I could do at the time. So we'll just kind of see what happens. You know, my first initial idea was to do something kind of like a carpool karaoke where I was, you know, driving along and, you know, picking different people up and saying, hey, come down for Christmas. And one person's coming on a boat, one person's coming on a plane, maybe one person comes in on a train or whatever. But then it starts getting a little bit more costly with, you know, if you're going to go to all those places and film those things. So,
right.
But we'll see. I might get my Christmas wish someday.
Okay. And speaking of YouTube, I noticed you added a few more Christmas covers from one of your trio shows.
Yeah.
And I'll put a link to your YouTube page down in your YouTube channel down in the show notes so everybody can go see those. Because it's fun. It's not a, you know, it's not a studio version but it gives you that feeling watching these videos and you and your band are on stage, and it gets you this feeling of kind of being at a Christmas party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's Suzanne playing Winter Wonderland. And it's just, yeah, you know, it's fun.
And there's several like that on there. There's Rudolph, Run Run Rudolph is in there. And because I have a Christmas playlist on my YouTube channel, and it's got my original songs and our covers all in that one playlist. So it's kind of cool. You can just click on the playlist and then hear everything back to back Christmassy. So I can definitely send that link to you too. So you've got
it. Please.
I'll share it. Yep.
Very cool. I'll probably come back to Christmas music, but I know it's very exciting. You have a non-Christmas single that is just out, the Kenny Store, right?
Yes, in some parts of the world, it's already out.
Nice.
Because tomorrow morning, it is available stateside for sure. So in some parts of the world, it's already tomorrow, and they are enjoying the new single. It's kind of a country pop, Texas country, Americana, you know, some in those genres, whichever way you want to throw it. Song, it's called The Kenny Store. It is based on a place in Kenny, Texas. And actually, when I wrote the song, I had never been there. What the situation was on that is that it was a place that all these artists were getting to play at, you know, and I sent in emails from time to time and, you know, hadn't really gotten a response or whatever. So I thought, well, I'm just going to write a song about it, and maybe the song will do really well, and then they'll know who Suzanne's band is. I'll get in that door one way or another.
That's right.
So I looked on their website, you know, and I kind of got some ideas from that. And then a couple of weeks ago, I told my husband, I said, you know, maybe we should probably go in there and at least let them know that it's going to release. Just in case something happens and all of a sudden these people start saying, hey, have you heard this song, The Kenny Store? That way they'd know about it. So we went in there, had a nice meal, and it was really cool to see that a lot of things were really just like the website, you know. And I actually do a behind the scenes video where I talk about that, and I'm going to be releasing that too, probably this week. So I'll put that together and put that out for people to get to see that too. Those are always a lot of fun.
Very cool. Well, what was the reaction of the folks at the Kenny Store? Or was there
one? They were excited about it. They were pretty positive about it. You know, they said, you know, I can't believe, you know, you wrote a song about us. You know, it's like, well, you know, they support live music, and that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
There's so many venues that have either closed or stopped doing it or do karaoke or DJs, or, you know, you've got all these different scenarios that are out there right now, just kind of making that funnel of live music availability harder and harder to get down. But I always appreciate those folks that are still doing that and providing those avenues for us.
Now, the Kenny Store is going to be on the album that comes out next month, I think.
It's also the first song on the album. Yeah, the album is going to be called Bandana Woman. And if you've been in my live shows, or if you can see from a lot of the live videos that we've done, I've always got like our logo colors and bandanas, or at Christmas time, they're red and green, you know, but I usually have something like that out there, just kind of as a tie-in for our logo and for our brand, for brand messaging. And so I thought, well, it'd be cool to kind of write a song about that. And so it turned into the main idea for the album, because guess what? There weren't any other Bandana Womans on Google. And there are not too many of me out there anyway. So.
I was going to ask if you checked. And that's due. Do you have a specific release date for that?
Yep, February 17th. And if anybody goes to the website, at suzannesband.com, you can scroll to the very bottom, and there's a picture of the Bandana Woman album on the left side, and you just click on that and you can go pre-save the album 2 days.
Nice. Very cool.
Right this very second.
I'll make sure to share that in the show notes as well.
Yes.
What else can you tell us? I mean, I know you want to leave some for people to discover, but what else can you tell us about Bandana Woman?
Initially, it was just kind of a collection of songs. You know, I didn't really have a title for it. I wasn't sure what I wanted to call the album. And then I went out to Vegas to work with a composer out there and kind of fine-tune some of the chording in all of the songs. And while I was out there, a friend of mine, her son lives out there and he's a Vegas performer. And I knew he took really cool pictures. So I had him meet me out in the desert and we shot a lot of the scenes for some of the promo videos and the album cover and the backside of the album too, which not everybody sees. If you're looking digitally, you won't necessarily see that. So the whole album is really cool. If folks want an actual physical CD, hopefully those will be loaded on the website eventually. I hope so. I just switched web hosting companies, and they're supposed to be working on getting the Kenny Store single loaded onto the website where
I
you can
think it is.
click on it to purchase it. But I think it's going to be a little bit longer before they get the whole album loaded on there and get it to where people can actually purchase it or the physical copies. But we'll get there.
Yeah. Any chance that there will be vinyl?
No, because it would be almost $2,000
Ooh.
for vinyl. And I, you know, when you've already spent, because you have to get CDs, you got to have something, because people still buy them, it shows. And then you still have certain record companies and radio stations and different people that do need that physical copy. So I knew I had to do that. And you have to do a minimum in order to make it worth your time or have somebody even do it. So that was kind of priority. It would have been nice to do vinyl, but I just didn't see that being in the cards. Not and still have something there that you can do some basic promotion with, because you know it's not much good to create something and then you don't have anything to promote it with. You know that.
You know, I bet that is one of the reasons that you see so many artists, especially indie artists who do so much of the stuff on for themselves, by themselves, that you see a lot of them that when they do put out vinyl, it's like a year later after the initial release of the album.
And that's
And
why. I'm sure.
that makes sense. I know I've asked you this before. Are you on Bandcamp?
Yes.
Okay.
And I will load, nothing is loaded yet. That's on my to-do list for tonight. I am going to start getting all that loaded and ready to go. What I will probably do is I will probably, just for the sake of doing it, I will probably go ahead and just load the album on Bandcamp so that I only have to do it one time. And that way, if somebody wants the single, they can. Otherwise, they can just go ahead and purchase the whole album.
You want me to keep that a secret?
No, you could say it's only available to our listeners
Exclusive.
right here at Sounds of Christmas. It's a perk. It's
Yeah.
what you get for listening to the Sounds of Christmas
That's right. It's the
and
only place
supporting
that you can
independent
find it.
music. Right. Otherwise, you wouldn't find it right now until it was announced. And I will probably say something to my email list customers because they're really good about, you know, supporting and everything, and kind of as a perk for them too. I'll probably announce it on the email list when I send it out, you know, for the 1st of February. I'll let them know that it is on Bandcamp because I think you're on that too, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that thing that I always send out, I will add that on there too and just let folks know if they want to download it early and they want a digital copy, they can go on to Bandcamp and not have to wait a couple more weeks.
So I feel kind of silly even asking this, but with all of this coming up, what's next for you for 2026?
For 2026, obviously getting more gigs because we need to keep the gig schedule up. We've lost a few venues last year that were some of our anchors, if you will, due to different things, whether it's restaurants closing or not wanting to pay licensing fees, so they stopped live music, or just they stopped live music because they were changing the programming, whatever the case may be. Some of those things happen, so we'd like to get some new venues in the works and try and We've got some full band shows actually that are going to show up on the calendar. So that's going to be really neat to have that in the mix this year. We haven't had as many. Seems like most venues wanted duos or trios. And that was a solid thing in 2025, I would say. I would say a good portion of our shows were that. But this year it seems to be we're kicking off with some full band things. So it's like, yay! Always love that.
Terrific. So, no new Christmas music later this year.
2027 would be the recording year,
Yeah, I
you
thought
know,
that's
if I
what you
did
had said.
something. So I would need to, and I have to have time to write too. You know, I've got some things I've worked on, but you know, nothing that is completed. So I need that kind of headspace to where I can sit down and write the next project and work on that, which I would, because I if I don't stay in promo mode, you know, too, there's so much that just gets dropped. Especially with trying to gig too and create new music to play at the gigs. And then I'll still need to do some videos for this new music that is coming out off the album. And we'll probably have a new music video for one of the album songs coming out pretty soon. If you listen to the album, it will be in a tropical depression. That's going to be probably the song. With the video that gets released first, just because we're going to film one for the Kenny store in a couple of weeks, but I don't know how soon it will be ready as opposed to the other one. You know, we'll just kind of see which comes first, the chicken or the egg. But either way, we're going to have some videos coming out for some of these songs, so that's going to be priority. And also, it's a Grammy year. That means all these songs, the Christmas ones and this album, have to be put into the Grammys, and that rabbit trail has to be followed. And so that makes it another busy year, too.
Those are the best years when it's exciting. When you've got all these different things going on, if they don't overwhelm you.
Well, every year has its own share of things, of stressors that go along with it. So when it is a release year, all these things happen. You're making videos, you're putting it into the Grammys, you're still trying to perform live. And so it's really hard to dump anything else on top of that. So that's why it's nice to have a release year, and it's nice to have a production writing year, because then you have that space to breathe and feel like you can be in your creative space and you're not still trying to tread water with all these other things.
With the Grammys, is there any part of that process that people listening can help with? Is there any sort of preliminary popularity vote or anything?
Not with that, since all the listens and the streams, everything obviously helps. That helps me as an independent artist. But as far as the Grammy process, I'm not really sure. Unless they're a voting member, you know, they're not gonna have much effect on things other than maybe, you know, spreading the word if they like a particular song or if they enjoy the album or things like that. Maybe it gets to the right ears. But most of the Grammy voting is internally.
Okay. Let me see if I have this right. The best ways that you can support Suzanne's band. Number one, go to her website and buy stuff directly from her. Music, merch, whatever. Number two, stream the songs and put them in your playlists and share them with your friends so they'll stream them and put them in their playlists.
And then for right now, for sure, go to Bandcamp. I'm not sure when this is actually going to be posted, but hopefully by the time this recording is released to folks, everything will be up and running on Bandcamp, probably before the website even. So Bandcamp's going to be the fastest, easiest way of purchasing songs right now, for sure,
Okay.
for the new album and
And I
new
know, and we've missed it for January, but the first Friday of every month is a Bandcamp Friday where they waive their fees for the artists, so more money goes into their pocket. So put it on your Google Calendar or whatever else you've got for that first Friday in February,
I'm going to write that down too, because I keep forgetting that. I think I'm going to remember. And that way I can make a post about that too. That the first Friday of the month, Bandcamp waives their fees. Got it.
Yep. So that first Friday is February 6th.
Oh, it's of the month, not every week.
Right. It's the first Friday of the month.
Got it. I'll add that on there too. That way I remember. That's helpful.
Yeah. Anything about the Kenny store or Bandana Woman that I didn't ask that you wish I would have, that you want people to know?
Well, there's all sorts of tidbits. You know, there's always lots of stories and lots of cool things. The producer is Dale Penner, which my previous album 4 years ago, I did myself. And so this time I got Dale Penner to produce this one. And if you were Loverboy, Nickelback, also Wendy Mouton, who was on The Voice recently, he's produced for all those folks. So he's definitely a name in the business. And he lives in Canada. So he came from Canada down here to good old Houston, Texas, USA, and worked here for about a week. Doing some recording here at our Lucky Run, where everything was recorded at. And so that was a lot of fun. This is the first time that I've ever played acoustic guitar on any of my songs, like ever in the 8 years I've been doing this. And the only reason I did was because he said, you can do this. You can, but, you know, go ahead, just play. You know, if we don't like it, we won't use it. So it kind of took the pressure off. So I ended up getting to play that for the first time. So that was really cool. A friend of mine, the guitar player for Lynyrd Skynyrd, his name is Sparky. You'll see it on his guitar strap. We were choir buddies in high school. And so I called him up in Nashville and I said, hey, I'm doing this album and I think it'd be really good on a couple of these songs, and sent him the music. And he hooked me up with a studio in Nashville, and we kind of went back and forth by phone. He would record something, the guy would send it to me, and then I'd say, hey, adjust this or that. They'd re-record it, and then we sent everything back up to Canada to Dale, and he put all that together. So and that is on the songs Ain't a Country Enough and Bandana Woman Itself. So those two songs are the ones that Sparky contributed to. And it's cool because Lynyrd Skynyrd's coming to Houston in August. So I'm going to actually get to see him in August.
Very cool. So, you know, it's funny. When you mention Lynyrd Skynyrd, mm-hmm. people will say, oh, there's none of the original members left. And to that, I just say, the people who are in Lynyrd Skynyrd now mm-hmm. have been doing this longer than right. the original members were in there.
Right.
Like 30, 35 years, maybe more.
Right.
So they deserve the respect.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
What's the best way for people to keep up with you?
I would definitely say Facebook is definitely a prime one, because, you know, something is usually going on there every day at the very least, you know, posts and different things like that. Instagram's great, Twitter, all the usual sources. Like I said, with the new website company taking over, you know, the website may not be updated quite as quickly on information and things, but for sure on our gig schedule. So if you're local here in the Texas area and you're going to be wanting to go out and catch a gig, you could use either medium, either the website or Facebook. But as far as just music news in general, and also if you get a chance and can go onto the website and register to be on the email list, that is a great, great, great way of keeping up, because the first of every month, I consolidate everything and send out, hey, this is what's happening, this is what's coming up. And you have one of the most up-to-date ways of keeping track of things with that. So that's another great way.
And I got to tell you, like, yours is one of the better newsletters. I don't get a ton of them, so I'm not buried in them.
Yeah.
And it's always great stuff in there on what you're doing, where you're going to be. There's terrific pictures. It's really nice, and it always reminds me, oh, let me check out and see what Suzanne's doing now. In fact, getting that newsletter
reminded you
a week or so ago made me go, oh man, I was supposed to have her on again, and so let me reach out. Mm-hmm. And I saw in the newsletter that the penny store was coming out, the Kenny store was coming out, and I was like, oh, got to get her on quick so we can talk about that. So you may not have a podcast.
And we don't bother people. You know, we only do it once a month. That's it.
Yeah.
And so it's not anything, you know, the information is kept in house. You know, it's not given to anyone or sold to anybody. Great. You know, this is just between me and the fans out there that want a more in-depth, maybe behind the scenes look at things. You know, there might be pictures or videos on there that might not be seen anywhere else, or for sure the newsletter would be the first time that something is put out like that, so that those folks get a firsthand look at it. So we always appreciate that.
You know, just today I unsubscribed from somebody's newsletter because I was getting three or four of them a day.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, and there was no reason for it. It was like, here's an announcement. And then it was like, did you hear about this announcement? And I got two emails from them last week that were both final chance to whatever.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, that's twice. So one of them's lying, but it's ridiculous when, you know, when it starts out and you get one, maybe two a month from somebody, and then all of a sudden it snowballs like this. And this wasn't a Christmas or New Year's kind of thing. This was just, they felt like they had something big going on and wanted to make sure I knew about it several times a day. And I just finally, I was like, you know what? That's an abuse. But getting yours once a month is, it's like, it's perfect. It's perfect. And I love that you keep the info with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's terrific. Anything else that you want to add that I've missed that you wished I would have asked you about?
Oh my goodness. I'm sure there's something I'm missing. That's the way it always is, isn't it?
It is.
Well, oh man. Other than, I guess my two favorite songs off the album are, you know, there's two that radio stations tend to think are going to do the best, and then, you know, I have my favorites too, and but I really think Far Far Away is probably my favorite jam off the album, just because of the groove to it, and I kind of like Get On With It too, just because of its upbeat nature and, you know, the pop side of things. But we'll see. All the country songs are good too.
But you know, it's funny.
Enjoy them.
I've talked to a lot of artists, and I'm always hesitant to ask about favorite songs because so often they'll say, well, you know, they're like my children. I don't have a favorite. And I just think that's not true, because there was something that when you were recording that, there was something that you were recording that you were like, yes, this is terrific. I love this. And you don't necessarily feel that way about every single song. And that doesn't mean any of the others are bad.
Yeah.
But there just are some of those songs that, and probably of the four Christmas songs you have recorded, there's probably one that's your favorite.
Oh yeah. I love Come Down for Christmas.
Yeah. I have a special place in my Christmas heart for One More Night of Christmas, because that was the first one.
It was the first one, yeah.
And I remember, and I think I've said this to you before, I remember sometime in a couple summers ago, I was starting to really get ready for the upcoming season, and I had my station on, and I heard that song start, and I was like, oh, I really like this song, but I can't place it. I wonder. And then I saw, oh my gosh, that's Suzanne. Oh, that's very cool. Because it was just one of those songs that is both knew, mm-hmm. and somehow nostalgic, like something that you have always heard every Christmas. It just somehow captures both of those things, and I just love that. Not to take anything away from the others.
Oh yeah.
But
well, the PR gurus and some of the radio personalities and different people like that that have heard the whole album right now, they seem to think that the Kenny Store is the strongest one out of the album, which is interesting. And they like Far, Far Away, which is, of course, one of my favorites. So we'll see how they do. It would be kind of strange to have this be a three-peat, because with my very first album, the first song on the album did the best out of all of them. With Back to You, the first song was Fault in My Stars. It did the best out of all of them. On the third album, Ice and Fire, Back to Brown, biggest one, still going strong on Spotify out of all of them. So is it a four-peat?
Keep my fingers.
I don't know. I'm picking good though. That's for sure. If I keep picking the strongest song is the first one, even though, you know, it was just a crapshoot. The reason why I picked it as the first song was because and you'll see this on the little video. If you have Spotify, you'll see it on the Canvas video. I'm opening the door to the Kenny Store and saying, you know, come on in. So that's the idea, is you're inviting people into this album to listen to the music and to set a spell and to enjoy a different palette of things that you might not have heard before from Suzanne's band. And then the last song on the album is Cruising With You, which is what we play at all of our shows to end our shows, because we say, hey, before we cruise off, we've got one more song for you. And so it's kind of the end of the album, cruising on to different things. There are two things that are different from a lot of albums on this one. One of which is I actually do a song introduction, which somebody suggested in the music business. So you'll hear that if you're listening to the full album digitally too, as well, if you listen to everything in order. And the second thing is, because Far, Far Away was so good, and that jam was going, I thought, you know, somebody might just want to have it as a jazz instrumental and just listen to it without the words. So we added the instrumental version as the tail end of the album. So if somebody wanted to do it, they could put it on, sit on that Florida beach on their towel and just chill with some jams.
Very cool. Very cool. It's always so much fun to catch up with you. Thanks so much for making time for us today.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And I'll put a link to that down in the show notes, too. So you can click on that, find your favorite site, click on over, then subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.